For our scripture reading this afternoon, let us turn to the Gospel according to John chapter 10, and we will read the verses 1 through 18. John chapter 10, the verses 1 through 18, and please read along with me. There we read God's holy word, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and catcheth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Another sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." So far the reading of the Word of God. The text of the sermon is found in the portion we read, the verse 7 and verse 9, where the Lord Jesus reveals himself as the door. We'll read these verses again. Verse 7, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Beloved congregation, a door can be very meaningful. A door can give you access to safety and rest. Behind certain doors, you feel comfortable and at peace. And children, imagine you are playing outside and all of a sudden you are in a cloudburst. You run to the door of the house and get inside as quickly as possible. And you are glad when you stand on the other side of the door, safe and dry. But a door can also be a hindrance. That's the case when the door is locked. Maybe you had that experience when once you came home and expected someone to be home. You wanted to enter the house, but the door was locked. At least in Hamilton, we always lock the doors. Maybe you don't do here, but that can happen. And then you want to enter the house, but You can't. You turn the handle and felt again, and you try another door. But whichever door you tried, none opened to you. You were locked out. Locked out. Well, that does not, it's not a pleasant experience. The door which provides you safety turned out to be a door which locked you out. Well, this afternoon we want to listen to the Lord's teaching about a door. What kind of a door? A door which is He, that is Jesus Himself. He says, I am the door. That's the theme of the sermon. Jesus says, I am the door. He provides access to the fold, benefits in abundance, and nourishment for the soul. I am the door. Jesus provides, first of all, access to the fold, secondly, benefits in abundance, and thirdly, nourishment for the soul. The Lord Jesus has told a parable about a sheepfold. That's how we could call this parable, the first verses of chapter 10. We should picture a big corral with high walls, which can hold more than one flock somewhere in a town. The sheepfold has a door which gives access to the fold. And only shepherds make use of the door. The doorkeeper maintains watch and makes sure that only shepherds enter the fold. Thieves and robbers try to climb in from elsewhere, and to them the doorkeeper does not open the door. The shepherd calls his sheep by name, and they know the shepherd and follow him since they recognize his name. After the Lord Jesus told the parable, his audience apparently failed to understand it. Will Jesus now explain the parable? Yes, he will, be in such a way that he adds certain components to the parable. The Lord Jesus does something only he can do, since he is the chief prophet and teacher who perfectly knows the will of God the Father. He has drawn a picture before us, but now he zooms in on certain elements in that picture and elaborates on that detail. As it were, he allegorizes the parable and makes additional applications which were not in the original parable. And this afternoon we want to study one of the details of the picture of that fold. The parable speaks about a door by which the shepherd enters the fold. And we should simply think of a wooden door which can be opened and closed by the doorkeeper. This is different to the corrals to the corrals which are found in the country, which are smaller, with a low stone fence and a small opening. There is no door in the opening. The shepherd himself is the door by lying in the opening after the sheep are gathered in the sheepfold. This is also a beautiful picture, but not the picture that is drawn in John chapter 10. The sheepfold in town is bigger and has a door with a doorkeeper. Who is the doorkeeper? Well, remarkably, the Lord Jesus does not elaborate on this. Some commentators make various suggestions what is meant by the doorkeeper, but maybe it is best to conclude that we don't know the meaning, and maybe we can even state that it has no special meaning, but that the mentioning of the doorkeeper completes the picture. As it were, you can picture it yourself. You see a corral in a town, high walls surround a mixture of flocks. And we see a shepherd at the door. And the doorkeeper recognizes him, and he opens and closes the door. And now we zoom in on the door. Because we hear the Lord Jesus say in verse 7, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." He uses here the same in introduction when he told the parable about the sheepfold. "Verily, verily, amen, amen." This is a true and sure word. This is of utmost importance and most decisive for life. And in verse 9 he says again, "I am," as he also says in verse 7, "I am the door." So the Lord Jesus reveals himself to his audience and says, "I am the door. I am." We hear the name of Jehovah God resonating. "I am that I am. I am the covenant God. I am the faithful God. I will fulfill all covenant promises." The covenant name of God is closely related to all his acts of salvation. It's something you should try to remember, children. The covenant name of God, the Lord with all capitals, as I also pointed out this morning, is closely related to all his acts of salvation. Now the Lord Jesus says, "I am the door." This is what I am, the Savior of my people, since I am the door. The door. Well, this sounds altogether like gospel news. Because what is a door? Well, children, before you were seated in the sanctuary, or the room next to the sanctuary, you entered this church building. Well, how did you enter the building? Did you climb in via a window? Or did you make a hole in the roof in order to get into the true church? No, of course not. You simply opened the door, probably the door, the main entrance, and the main door provides you access to the building. Imagine that this church was built without a door. Then the church would be useless. You need a door for a proper entrance. Well, this afternoon, when you grabbed the door handle, you trusted that the door was unlocked. Because a door means access is possible. Access is possible. And that's the first thing we should learn from this parable. There is a door which gives access to the sheepfold of God. Jesus points to himself and says, I am the door. And with me is access to the sheepfold. There's no other way to enter the fold than by using the door. What does the Lord Jesus mean with this? Well, a sheepfold is a picture of the kingdom of God. It's a picture of communion with God and with one another in peace. And there's no communion with God possible but by the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that such a joyous message? Well, because we have broken up the relationship with God by our disobedience in paradise. The Garden of Eden was a safe sheepfold, so to speak, for Adam and Eve. But they could not stay there since they turned their back on God. That is the tragedy behind the gospel news. We lost all rights to live since we chose death above life. Did God not tell Adam that he should not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And Adam and Eve were driven out of the garden. And by the disobedience, they slammed the door to God shut. never to open it again. We placed ourselves outside the fold, outside of the communion with God. And there was no way to live anymore. In paradise, this was symbolized by two cherubims, two angels who held a flaming sword guarding the entrance of the garden. We have gone astray. This is our natural state. This is our terrible plight. Our problem is compounded by the fact that by nature we don't even realize how serious our plight is. We stand outside. And outside means lost, without hope, without future. Have your eyes been opened to this? Dear child of God, did you consider by yourself, and do you consider by yourself time and again, your sins and the curse due to them? It is a reality which needs to be experienced time and again. Otherwise, we will not feel the need for our Savior. And in order to keep us small and dependent, we need to learn this lesson time and again. Look in the picture and see where you stand. By nature, we are outside of the fold, outside the fold of God. But where do you stand? Do you still stand outside the sheepfold? Or have you by grace entered the sheepfold of God? How can you know? Well, the Lord Jesus makes very clear that those who have entered the sheepfold have used the door. And those who are inside know the Lord Jesus by faith. Maybe you're not sure whether you stand outside the sheepfold or inside, because you're so disappointed in self. When you reflect on your life in the light of God's holy demands, you can only conclude that you have made a mess of your life. You thought you knew yourself a bit, but you discovered enmity in your heart, which you never knew existed. And maybe you're disappointed by your difficult personality. Maybe some character traits bother you. Well, there can be so much that stands between God and our soul. All we do is stained by sin. And when the Spirit opens our eyes for God's holy demands, then you must conclude, all testifies against me. In me lives no good. If it is well, this has led you to a humble prayer, beseeching the Lord for his mercy. In this way, the Lord also opens the gospel news, because he welcomes sinners as bad as they are. Time and again, you need to learn that you cannot bring any merits along when entering the sheepfold. You cannot merit the door key. You do not need to remember a door code. Jesus Christ himself is the door. And all those who come to him, humbled, broken-hearted, will experience that as soon as they come to the door, it will be opened. The access is granted by the door itself. Communion with God is merited by Jesus Christ. But let us elaborate on the merits of this door, as we will pay attention to in our second thought, the benefits in abundance. How can the Lord Jesus be the door to the kingdom of God? How can he be the door while we do not fit with him? Wouldn't he be an impediment rather than an access? If you look at what we deserve, I would think so. If we consider that Jesus Christ will soon judge the world, then who would not tremble? When the Apostle John saw the Lord Jesus in his majesty on the Isle of Patmos, he fell at his feet as dead because of his glory. And yet the Lord Jesus reveals himself as the door which grants access to the Father. How can that be? Does the Lord Jesus first test his sheep to see who fits with his flock? Does he want sheep which are without blemish and without spot, in full accord to God's holy demands? Well, that's not what the Lord Jesus reveals about himself. For sure, God's holy demands will not change. And according to God's justice, we cannot live in communion with God again without him being fully satisfied. Without atonement, there will be no peace with God. But the miracle of grace is that the Lord Jesus is not a shut door, but an open door, open to guilty sinners. He's an open door to God the Father, since he paid the penalty which we deserve. We need the convincing and convicting work of the Holy Spirit to experience this, that we deserve a locked door because of our disobedience and unfaithfulness. Oh, we can be so stubborn even after regeneration. Faith can be so dull. Our experience of the abomination of sin can be so superficial. We deserve eternal death. But when the Spirit brings these convictions home, he also opens our eyes to Jesus Christ, who is the door to life. He has merited life for damn worthy sinners by entering death in their stead. Oh, how did he not allow himself to be placed outside? He, by whom we have access to God, he is the one who went the deep way of suffering under God's wrath. He was considered by God an outcast, as one who has sinned against all God's commandments, and who has no love to God and his service, while in reality he perfectly obeyed God's law, and his heart overflowed with love to his Father. To do the will of his Father was his meat and drink. But we did not accept him. Instead of being accepted as the way, the truth, and the life, he was cast out by us. He was bound, smitten, spit on, and scourged. And while he opened doors to the outcasts of society, he was bound and at last nailed to the cross. Though he is the door, he experienced that all doors were closed to him. He hung between heaven and earth, since the world did not want him, and heaven's door was shut as well. And while he hung there in darkness, he suffered hellish agony, the pain of being outside the kingdom of God forever. But this is the way by which he became the door for his people to God. After he satisfied God's just wrath, heaven opened to him again. The darkness was expelled by God's light, and Jesus could cry out, "It is finished." And what happened at that time, children, when the Lord Jesus says, "It is finished"? Do you know that? The veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, telling us that there are no hindrances to access God. The closed door to heaven was broken down, and Jesus Christ is the door by whom we have access again. And therefore he can say to you and me, "I am the door." He does not say, "I show you the door." Neither does he say, "I will open the door for you." Then the Lord Jesus would be the doorkeeper in the picture. But that's not what he says. The gospel is even more glorious. What is more glorious than that the Lord Jesus says, "I am the door. I am the access to the sheepfold. I am the door in very person." He offers himself as the door by whom we can live in communion with God again. Do you already know him as the door? Have you entered the kingdom of God by faith? Maybe you wonder, "How can I?" Well, only by knowing Jesus Christ. He is the door you need to go through. Yes, there is a difference between knowing the door and using it. You understand that? You can hang around the church, walk around the building, and you can talk about the door, and you can describe the door, you can have a conversation about the door, a discussion about it. You can stay outside and still keep the door in view. It's not the same as using the door, namely to enter the building. Well, so it can be spiritually. You can hear about the Lord Jesus. You can talk about the Lord Jesus. You can describe him in his offices, in his humility, in his exaltation, all things you learn in catechism class, I hope. You can mention many of his names. Wonderful. But if there is no more than an intellectual understanding of the gospel, then we have never truly come to the Lord Jesus by faith. But how different when we feel our plight, realizing that we are outside the kingdom. And then you wonder, how can I get inside? How can I use the door so that I can live in communion with God again? That it is right between God and my heart. Oh, how precious is the Lord Jesus as the door when we feel our need of him. What a joy when we begin to realize that he is not only the one and only door to salvation, but also the most suitable door. By him you have access to God. Does he not say in verse 9, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You will be saved when you go through this door. You will be delivered from your guilt before God. You will be delivered from the burden of sin, since he has shed his blood on the cross. He delivers from the bondage of sin, since Jesus Christ has overcome its power. He has crushed Satan's head, so that no valid accusation can be brought in against you. As soon as you pass through the door, you are saved. Well, what do we find then behind that door? Well, first of all, protection. Behind the door is life, but also safety. This life merited by Christ cannot be taken from you by Satan or anyone else. Life is secure. Communion with God is guaranteed. No, it's not always felt. It's not always felt in this lifetime. But all those who have passed through the door cannot be separated from God and his grace. Jesus Christ is the door who stands as a safeguard between his flock and our enemies. He has purchased his flock, so they cannot be taken from him. We hear him say in verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We are only saved behind the scars of Jesus Christ. All attacks of God's enemy, all adversaries who are bent on destroying the flock, come to the door of the sheep. They pound the door, but they cannot break through, since Jesus Christ is the victor of all. We may consider ourselves safe behind him. The door of the fold is like a shield. It's also one of his names. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. He is an all-covering shield like a door. Behind him, you are safe. He has merited all the promises of God by his blood. All God's promises are yea and amen in him. He cannot lie. He will never leave nor forsake his sheep. He is their door. He is their surety. And we need to be reminded of this time and again. We need to learn to look away from self and to trust His work of redemption. We should not be led by what God's enemies whisper in our ears. We should not be led by what we perceive or what we feel. We should be led by what we have in Jesus Christ, namely the door. And under the preaching he says, with me there is forgiveness of sin. With me there is peace. You have access as often as you need, for I am the door. And I am pleased when sheep make ample use of me. Who? Is that still your question? Do you wonder whether the Lord is willing to receive you? Who does He receive? Well, He receives sheep. Sheep. Because Jesus is the door of sheep. Only they are welcome. Verse 7 says it emphatically, I am the door of the sheep. Not powerful animals who can defend themselves. No, the Lord Jesus gives access to the sheep, to those who are weak in themselves, who cannot help themselves, who are in need of guidance since they so easily go astray, that can be said of sheep, so stubborn. He welcomes those who are hopeless and helpless in themselves because of sin. That's the picture of His sheep. And to them, He is the door. Or does this picture offend you? Do you think you are better than a sheep? Well, then you don't know the door of the sheep. Because only by the door of Jesus Christ we will be saved and comforted. Only wearied sinners who are weak and poor in themselves are gathered in His fold. If you are one of those who in all honesty must confess that you do not know the Lord Jesus as the door, then you are outside of the kingdom of God. And you know that. But please be not satisfied with this conclusion. Do not rest. You are in a terrible plight, and a day will come soon that it will be too late to go through the door. Now is the day of salvation. He offers Himself to you as the door by which you can be saved. But if we remain impenitent, then the day will come that you will stand at a closed door. And on the day of judgment, you will realize that you are mistaken. And then you will knock on the door and say, Lord, Lord, open to us. But then He will answer, verily, amen. I say unto you, I know you not. Why not? Because you never pass through the door in this lifetime. Do not rest before you know the Lord Jesus as the door by whom you enter the kingdom of God. How? Well, let me ask another question. What hinders you from seeking and finding the Lord Jesus? What is the obstacle for you to come to the door as a poor and needy sinner, as a sheep in desperate need of salvation and protection? Is it because you do not feel your need of it? Or do you lack a serious concern about your soul? You need to know that among the sheep who seek to enter the door, there are those who are still so dumb and ignorant of their own state. Though they know so little, they know that they need to pass through the door in order to be saved. And Jesus Christ invites you this afternoon, come to me. those who have no life in self, and you will find life with me. All those who come to him, he will not refuse. Only those who are not willing to enter through the door will remain outside. But that is utter foolishness. There are still foolish people also among us, because that's what we are by nature. Maybe you consider yourself to be inside the kingdom of God. Well, you do not know the Lord Jesus by faith. There is no personal bond with him. There is no desire to do his will. There is no thirst for the living God. But then you're still outside. This is a very uncomfortable message. I realize that. But I hope this will make you restless. Because rest will only be found with him, who is the door of the sheep. Maybe you struggle with these matters. And you wonder whether you know him or know him not. You cannot find peace in the world, but neither do you feel liberty to confess that you know the Lord Jesus as the door. What to do? Oh, lay your need before the Lord in prayer. Come to him and plead his word. Thou hast revealed thyself as the door of thy sheep. Thou art the faithful covenant God, the I Am. Thou art the God who saves. Since thou art the door, wilt thou be my door? May I enter the kingdom in through thee, O Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord will hear such a prayer. You know what? The Lord will further guide and instruct you while you prayerfully make use of the means by which he gives himself to strugglers and doubters. We read at the close of verse 9, and shall go out in and out and find pasture. That's what we want to consider briefly in our third point. Nourishment for the soul is found with the door. You do not only enter by the door once, but according to this picture, time and again. This is a daily exercise. It means that we need to live out of Christ. We cannot live from what we experienced at one time. We cannot live from the same pasture time and again. Through Christ, we will be fed via the door. And he leads us out to green pastures. But he also leads us to the sheepfold again to rest. There is a time of eating and a time of resting and the enjoying of food. The exercise of faith is an ongoing matter for which we need the Lord Jesus Christ. Without him we can do nothing. What do you feed yourself? Do you feed yourself with some sweet memories of the past? That's not a healthy way of living. You need him every day. He provides nourishment for the soul. And therefore you need to pass through the door time and again. And then you will find pastures appropriate for us. And it pleases the Lord Jesus to feed his sheep, to lead his sheep. And therefore you need him. And the expression, and shall go in and out, reminds us of Psalm 121. That we read, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even for evermore. Thy going out and thy coming in. The same is said in our text. It speaks about God's gracious care for our soul in all we do for our whole life. Wherever we go, whatever we do, the Lord will preserve us. That is his promise. And this promise will be fulfilled in our life if we know him as the door. Otherwise, we will not find food for our soul. He will lead and guide his people in the green pastures of His Word. We see that the picture of Jesus as the door and as the Good Shepherd, as mentioned further, are blended into each other. It reminds us of Psalm 23. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That is what He promises in His Word. The Lord promises to feed His own. The pastures are both the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments. But you can also think of your personal Bible reading and a table in the family, with the family. Where do you find food for your soul? Well, not in self, but with the Lord, provided by His means. There you will find food. That is the Lord's common way of strengthening your soul by His Spirit. And it pleases the Spirit to grant us what is promised to us in Christ. You know, and in spiritual life, we increasingly will know ourselves to be dependent on Him. You never outgrow the use of means. On the contrary, you will discover more and more that the Lord so graciously provides, and that He provides in abundance by binding us to His means. And so He draws His people to Himself and to the communion with Him. And so He displays who He is for sheep that are poor in themselves. When we look to Him, then all reservations and objections will be silenced. And then you cannot but obey the Master's call. Obey the Shepherd's call. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen.